right. Everybody in the car. Let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Reform Radio. This is 5 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to Herd Mentality. All right. Well, welcome, everyone. I'm here today with one Ari Jeetse. Welcome, Ari.
Thank you. You pronounced my last name correctly.
We were practicing before the show. So welcome. Ari is another student. She's a senior here at Tufts University, and she's working on a wonderful senior thesis entitled Race and Citizenship in Italy.
The working title.
Working title. All right. Yeah, no pressure. Nothing's published here. All right. We're just going to talk about that topic. Race and citizenship in Italy. All right, so Ari, you're an international relations / Italian studies major.
Yes, I am.
So for those of us who don't go to Tufts, what is your elevator pitch of what you do here?
Well, that's a good question. international relations-wise, I've always sort of been interested in politics, but politics also beyond the scope of just our country, and love Italy, so they go together pretty well.
Sounds like they do.
Yeah.
Like tomato and basil. Wonderful. All right, so you've been to Italy. You studied abroad there.
I did, yeah.
Okay, so you have a fairly good understanding of what it's like to be over in Italy.
I would like to think so. Okay. I spent 12 months there, It was pretty awesome.
Cool. What part of Italy were you in?
So for the first 3 months, I was in Rome doing an internship. Okay. And then I was in Bologna, Italy, which is this university city in between Florence and Venice. Mm-hmm. And I spent the rest of the 9 months there, which were spectacular.
Nice.
I highly encourage anyone who has the chance to study abroad in Italy or just move there.
Yeah. Bologna. I have tried their cured meats. I can attest.
Yes, they are famous for that.
All right. So we want to talk about Italian citizenship, identity, what it means to be Italian. So let's just start. Okay. Italy is a pretty old country. We can trace it back, you know, Roman Empire all the way back.
You can trace the history of the Italian peninsula back, but Italy as like the modern nation state that we know it was actually formed in 1861. And Rome was not incorporated into that nation state until 1870. So, relatively speaking, Italy is a pretty young state for Europe. If you think about the countries that, you know, England, France, those histories go back.
Even the U.S.,
they go back right way before Italy. And so that's like sort of where I start with my thesis is saying before we have Italy, there was a very splintered peninsula that was sort of a plaything, if you will, of the other big European powers at the time.
Yikes. Okay, so it's hard out here to be Italian. Okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea. All right. So let's kind of describe what it was like to be Italian back, you know, 1870s.
Yeah. Well, that concept of being Italian was something that was very, very new at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 1860, there's still several big kingdoms, I think about seven separate states, smaller states in the Italian peninsula. Mm-hmm. And up in the north, there is this kingdom of Sardinia, which is run by the House of Savoy, and its capital is in Torino.
Okay.
And these political elite have this idea that they're going to unify Italy. And so it sort of starts from the top and works its way down.
Okay.
And it's sort of like this movement of liberation in many ways, that there's, you know, liberating the people, but also kind of annexing these places. So it's an interesting dynamic that you see. Because they claim to be bringing this like enlightened new state to people who, many of whom aren't even sure what it is. And
the average person, are they like, oh, I'm Italian. I know what that's like.
No one is thinking that. And, you know, if you think about Italy today, Italy is known for having this very strong regionalismo is what you would say. It has a very strong regional character to it. And so you travel in the countryside, you're going to hear different dialects. People identify very strongly with where they're from. And that's a history that, you know, after the fall of the Roman Empire, you see centuries of divided, you see strong rivalries like between Florence and Siena. And so it's a strong history that really hasn't, I don't think, been resolved yet.
Okay.
And so, yeah, there's these interesting dynamics that come into play. And the other thing is that like this national movement that is, you know, preaching this vision of a unified Italy is generally limited to a lot of political elite in the north, the educated. At the time, a lot of the country was illiterate, and so they weren't really sure what was going on. And so, yeah, this idea of being Italian is something that is not a widespread desire.
Okay, so I'm envisioning, okay, we have some kind of like, we have these social stratifications happening, and we're kind of having this imposition of like, okay, let's all become Italian, coming down from the top. It's sprinkling down.
Yeah.
Okay, so fast forward a little closer to today. Okay, so if you, you know, yikes! How close do we want to should we go if we want to talk more like the legal side of what it is to be a citizen in Italy?
Right. So, you know, if you look at citizenship laws, a lot of times people they're generally can be divided into two categories, or they use like this mixture. There's jus soli, which is like law of the land, and then there's jus sanguinis, which is blood. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some countries will have, you know, a mixture of this. So a jus soli law is something that, you know, is very, it's the law we have here in the States, that is if you're born here, you're a citizen.
Right.
We also use some usanguinous elements where, you know, if you're born overseas and one of your parents is a citizen, mm-hmm. you have the right to become a citizen as well.
Okay.
And so, and there's more restrictive and more liberal types of citizenship law.
Okay.
And Italy is very unique because to this day, they still have a usanguinous citizenship law, which means that if you are born in Italy, that does not guarantee you the right to being a citizen. You're only a citizen if one of your parents is a citizen.
Yikes. Okay. So these are all very timely things, especially with everything that's going on over here in the States. A lot to mull over. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll get back to kind of the legal side of what it means to be an Italian citizen. Welcome back. This is Herd Mentality here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm talking with Ari Jitsi about her wonderful knowledge of race and citizenship in Italy. And we're going to talk about kind of the modern interpretation of what it means to be Italian right now.
Yeah. So first I'll give a little backstory of how I got interested in this topic, which was during my year abroad in Italy. Because within the first couple of weeks I spent in Bologna, I did a little bit of like a crash course in like getting to know the city, getting to know the country. And mm-hmm. One of the movies that I watched during that time was, it's called 18 Us Soli. It's by an Italian Ghanaian filmmaker.
Okay.
And it basically explores this law that, the citizenship law that doesn't give citizenship to people who have spent their entire lives in Italy. It's the only home they've ever known, the only mm-hmm. culture, maybe even the only language. And yet, if they're a child of, you know, an immigrant, they are not guaranteed citizenship.
Right.
And so it explores, you know, these different stories of people and how difficult it is for them to, you know, feel like they're truly a part of their country. And
okay, and we should say the quick sidebar to this is, like, even though we were talking about how Italy is like a very recent state on its own, it does have a history of some colonialism, especially in the African continent.
Yes, and so what's really interesting is that there's a professor at Georgetown named Mark Howard who has sort of explored factors that influence citizenship policies. Mm-hmm. And something that he talks about is that colonialism is a indicator and often a factor in creating and influencing a shift towards more liberal citizenship policy.
Really? Okay.
And that's because countries that have colonial pasts come into contact with more people of different cultures, ethnicities, etc. And we see these phenomenons of post-colonial migrants, that a lot of migrants from these like European countries, former colonies, would migrate to their former colonizer's country mm-hmm. for a better life, employment, etc. And so I'm planning on writing this thesis with a specifically post-colonial lens, and which, you know, argues that the colonial legacy is still strong and that like the impact of colonial structures continues onwards to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you apply that to Italy, there's several instances, first of all, that some people view the Italian annexation, like the unification of the peninsula, as an instance of internal colonialism, that the North colonized the South.
So when we had these social and, you know, political and economic elites kind of saying, we should all be the same, guys, but really everybody under that regime was kind of taken for a ride.
Exactly. Okay. And as soon as, you know, this unification was formalized, there was a lot of moralizing and civilizing discourses that began to permeate through the political arena and, you know, the universities, the educated, that, you know, the South needed to be brought to this, like, new level of enlightenment, that they were exotic, they were, like, the plague, they were racialized, and so that there was this dichotomy between the North and the South, and, you know, the South was this, like, evil stepsister or, like, the cripple of the country, and that it brought down Northern Italy.
Wow, okay.
Which is something that you would see with, like, you know, if a European country, if France went into Africa and said, oh, we're bringing, you know, these people to modernity. They need our help.
Right.
Not that different.
The benefits of colonialism from the colonizer's perspective, of course. Yeah.
And so that's, like, the first aspect of this. And so we come out of, you know, 20 years in, there's a peninsula that doesn't feel united in any case.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see a large amount of emigration coming out of Southern Italy, going to the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little Italy's pop up in New York, in Boston. And so there's people, largely Southerners, who are impoverished and feel very forgotten by the state.
Right.
And so towards the end of the 19th century and the early 20th century, we see Italy trying to play catch up to these other great colonial powers on the European continent, and they undertake some colonial exploits in Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia, so Eastern Africa, okay, and then also in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
And these projects, they can be viewed as, like, casting basically the Africans as the new other.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, the South was often characterized as the other to define this, like, Italian identity.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's this attempt to unify the Italian peninsula. It's like, okay, we're all Italians because there's this person, this African that's below us.
Right.
And so we see that kind of discourse start to take hold in society.
So these elites are able to kind of have some tangible ways to back up what they're saying about, hey, we have a lot in common, us Italians, right? Let's all, you know, kind of establish ourselves at a certain level because now we've put somebody beneath us.
Exactly. And so we see, you know, in the first civil code of the Kingdom of Italy, which was published in 1865, it's very clearly stated that a citizen is the child of a father who's a citizen.
Okay.
And this preference for ethnic Italians continues on. So in 1912, there is another citizenship law passed that essentially reaffirms this preference for ethnic Italians and acknowledges that, like, you know, all these Italians overseas have the right to, you know, if they gave up their citizenship when they emigrated, they have the right to come back and very easily reacquire this citizenship.
And you have a personal connection to this, right?
I do. So I'm Italian-American, mm-hmm, and on both sides, my father's family came over in the first half of the 20th century, but my mother's father emigrated to the States in the 50s. He had grown up in Italy, and he was a doctor, and he came here seeking, you know, new opportunity, and he was sponsored by an uncle that was had emigrated here previously.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I recently had an appointment to become an Italian citizen at the Italian consulate in San Francisco, okay, where I'm from. And that was baffling to me that, okay, I speak Italian now, but I, you know, before last year, I hadn't lived in Italy. I had been there 2 times.
Okay.
I am not Italian. I'm American.
Right.
But I could become a citizen because I am of Italian descent.
Right.
And so the most recent citizenship law in Italy that was passed in 1992 basically reaffirmed that, like, they want ethnic Italians to be citizens and increased the requirements for foreigners living in Italy. Instead of being 5 years, they have to legally, like, reside in Italy for 10 years before they can apply for citizenship.
Wow. So somebody coming from perhaps these formerly colonized areas of Africa, moving to Italy, could be there for 9 years, would have a harder time, you know, going to the State Department and saying, hey, I'd like to be a citizen finally. I've been living here for nine gosh darn years than, you know, you who've, you know, lived almost your whole life in America.
Yeah. Baffling. And that's wild to me. And especially after watching that documentary, mm-hmm. I could not believe it. I said, these people are more Italian than I am.
Right.
You know, hearing them speak, hearing them reflect on their experiences. They went to school in Italy. They are Italian, but they're not recognized citizens. And
right.
That's this divide that like continues to persist in mm-hmm. society.
Woof. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there. We'll take another quick break, and then we'll kind of bring it all home.
The times we had, oh, when the wind would blow with rain or snow, were not all bad. We put our features where they had to.
And we're back here on Herd Mentality. We're going to wrap up our conversation here with Ari Gizzi on race and citizenship in Italy and why it is so gosh darn hard to be Italian if you're not ethnically Italian. Whew, we've talked about a lot. We've gone through kind of the whole history of where Italy started, kind of unifying under this identity of Italian, right? And then the progression into it as a colonial power, and now kind of the repercussions of Italy spreading its influence and getting all this, you know, expanding what it was to be Italian overseas, and now the repercussions of being a former colonizer and what it means today.
Right. Yeah. And something I think that's really important in this whole situation is that Italy, as a colonial power, ended very abruptly mm-hmm. with the end of fascism, which is something that we, you know, kind of skipped over, but I haven't quite gotten there in my writing yet, so I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But because Italy, after its defeat in World War II, surrendered all its colonies, it was something that was often like erased from the history, and it's never really talked about in great detail.
Okay.
It's not something that Italy grapples with. And so, you know, this colonial identity has been swept under the rug in many cases. So, you know, while we see former colonial powers like France and England move towards an understanding of citizenship that's much more civic, that mm-hmm. relies on, you know, loyalty to the state and to the institutions, and, you know, provides access to citizenship for people that weren't born there.
Yeah.
Italy has remained in this like state of backwardness, which is something that the Northerners would say about the South
okay.
150 years ago. But its citizenship laws are very antiquated and yeah. need to be updated to reflect the changing nature of the country, since it has become a destination for immigrants since the 1970s.
Yeah. Is there any hope for change? Is there any spark, I don't know,
yeah,
in the modern Italian discourse about it?
You know, the politics in Italy are quite a puzzle. If you think we get stuck in gridlock, you yeah. should look over there. But
Fair.
There are some bills that have come up in Parliament recently trying to change the law. You know, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
It's difficult to, you know, gets change done.
Oh gosh, yeah. We don't even know what's going on in our own government over here. I can hardly imagine what it's like to try to keep tabs on everybody else. Cool. But I guess this discussion is kind of very important given our, you know, current climate in the U.S. right now, because we have this issue with the identity of these dreamers kind of running us a parallel line where it's like, yeah, you weren't born in the United States, but you can live here for so long and yet still not feel or be considered American.
Right. And that's, it's wild. You know, the idea of citizenship, like in many ways, you know, citizenship can be broken into different categories. One of them is the legal rights, but another one is the sense of belonging. And
right.
So when we see these people that grow up in these societies, you know, even if they are brought here at age 5, like that's the majority of their life they've spent here.
Right.
It starts to raise questions about, you know, how much power should citizenship as a legal institution have? Because there's all these other elements that play into it. And those ones, I think, often much more define what it means to be a citizen than whether or not you have, you know, a card.
Right.
But unfortunately, the government is, you know, able to prosecute people and deport them because they don't have this card. But that doesn't really say much about every other part of citizenship.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they could be loyal, law-abiding citizens who take a lot of pride in their country and feel like they belong here. But I think we're at a time in this globalized world that we need to rethink, you know, what it really means to be a citizen of a country and who we're denying that right to.
Wow. Yeah. You kind of lose sense of like your identity in your community. Maybe, you know, you have all your neighbors who you love and who respect you as a person and want you to stay here. And yet somebody, you know, 1,000 miles away can just with a stroke of a pen say, you're not American or you're not Italian.
Yeah.
Insane.
That happens there too. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, we thought we were just talking about Italy, but we have stumbled across the larger issues of what citizenship means, you know, in the human condition.
We didn't even touch upon pasta or pizza, so.
True. Whoa, that's a whole nother show.
That's another radio show.
The identity politics of pizza on its own. Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Any thoughts, any last hopes for the Italian people? Or do you think is there hope yet?
I would like to think so. I would also like to see some bill passed to protect the dreamers.
Absolutely.
I hope that, you know, that change will happen in my country and we can continue to move forward with that. And I hope the same happens in Italy.
Oh my goodness. We could actually be a beacon of hope for others. Who knew? America.
<Not me.
laughs> All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. All right. You've been listening to Herd Mentality with me, Thomas Keller, on 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. You're still listening here to Herd Mentality on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. That was Pyle with both Dogs and I Don't Want to Do This Anymore, because we are listening to their whole second half of that album. Pyle, for everybody who doesn't know, is a band that makes music, and they're from Texas, sort of. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our little talk there with Ari Jeetze, and learning a little bit about what it means to be anything, how strange it is to be anything at all, in the wise words of Jeff Mangum. All right, yeah, so we got more music coming on, but before I do, I just want to apologize. If you're trying to follow along, our Spinatron is not currently working. We're getting our ops team on that soon, and if you're on ops and you're listening, I'm sending you an email very shortly, but please come help me because we don't have internet on our computer. But everything else is working, and I can play music and give you a little PSA about Medford Conversations. So for those of you who don't know, Medford Conversations is happy to announce that registration is open for their 2018 Conversation Series. Medford Conversations is a volunteer organization that arranges small discussion circles guided by trained facilitators. Last year, more than 100 members of the Medford local community made new connections with their neighbors as they engaged in a series of discussions on race and diversity. So if you're interested in learning more about all the people who you live with and who are part of your community that maybe you don't know and want to know what they think, this sounds like something you might be interested in. This year's conversations will be centered on housing, transportation, and other basic needs in Medford, which, if you live in Medford, housing and transportation are very important things. No thanks to us terrible tough students. Anyway, all events are open to the public at no cost, but please just pre-register online. And registration for this year's series closes on February 18th, so you got a little over a week. And if you want to sign up, please visit Medford, M-E-D-F-O-R-D, conversations.org. That's medfordconversations.org to register and learn more. Just a handy little PSA there from your friends here at WMFO. You're listening to Herd Mentality. And now, back to the music. Thank you.
Just to try out.
you're listening to Herd Mentality here on WMFO Medford. Thank you so much for listening. That was most of the second half of Pyle's latest album. That was a hair shirt of purpose with several songs we listened to. I Don't Want to Do This Anymore, then Dogs, Making Eyes, Slippery, and Fingers. So thanks for bearing with a very raucous and unpredictable album, but still very beautiful. In its own right, we're going to cruise on through to a last song here, which I think is fitting and in keeping with our theme of identity and civilization and the modern age. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Thomas Keller. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
New work. subject I do not wish to think or speak or write with moderation. I am in earnest. I will not equivocate. I will not excuse, and I will not retreat a single inch, and I will be heard.
Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just stuck? I went to a shrink to analyze my dreams. She says it's like a sex that's bringing me down. I went to a whore. He said my life's a bore. Joke with my wife and puts it bringing her down. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my
listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This has been Herd Mentality with me, Thomas Keller. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in next Saturday at 5 p.m.